This morning's reading is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 8, and it can be found on the page 843 of the Supplied Bibles, page 843, chapter 8, and we're starting at verse 11. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." And he left them, got into the boat again, and went to the other side. Now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said to him, 12. "And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, "Do you still not understand?" And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spat on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on him, over his eyes again, and he opened his eyes, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter near the village." And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so much, Susie. Good morning, CCP family. Are we well this morning, church family? It is great to see you all this morning. It's great to gather as God's people. It is a great opportunity that God is granting us this morning to open his word, the Bible. My name is Mxolisi, or Reverend Mxolisi, as Gareth pointed out. But I still prefer Mxolisi for your information. Well, friends, we are back to our series this morning in the book of Mark, a series that we titled Jesus on the Move. And today we are looking at the topic of spiritual blindness. But before we do that, we need to pray and ask God to help us, because it is a difficult topic to think about. So I will ask us to bow our head and pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to open your word, the Bible, this morning. I pray that you may help each one of us present here today, our God, not to be like the person that James describes, the one who looks at himself in the mirror, and as he turns away, he completely forgets what he looks like. Give us spiritual eyes and enable us to see you clearly from the pages of the Bible this morning. It is in your precious name that I pray. Amen. Well, friends, Mark has already told us from the beginning of this gospel that this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do we remember that? He said, this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Mark also told us that the right response to that gospel of Jesus Christ is repentance and faith. So this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the right response to that gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is repentance and faith. But after that introduction, Jesus comes and begins his mission of preaching the gospel, forgiving sins of many people and healing the sick and delivering people from the demon possession and doing many miracles. And if you still remember what Mark said is the right response to Jesus, which is faith and repentance, you expect that response, isn't it? You expect that people will come to Jesus and respond to him in faith and repentance. But unfortunately, not many people have responded that way thus far to Jesus. We have seen so many different responses to Jesus. Only a few have come to Jesus and grabbed his true identity. And the rest haven't really understood who Jesus truly is. Only a few have grasped his identity. And in today's passage, we will see the reason why that is the case. Why people haven't really understood who Jesus is. Why people haven't responded with faith and repentance to Jesus. It is because of spiritual blindness. That is our title for this morning. People haven't responded the way they should to Jesus in faith and repentance because they are spiritual blind. And if you are at church the first time this morning and you are asking yourself, what is spiritual blindness? What does it mean to be spiritually blind? Well, the good thing is that we don't have to think hard about what this means because Jesus has already told us what does it mean to be spiritual blind. That is in Mark chapter 4, verses 12. Jesus describes spiritual blindness as seeing and not perceiving, as hearing and not understanding. When you are spiritually blind, it means you are unable to see the truth of God through Jesus. Even though they may be in front of you, even though the evidence may be presented in front of you, but you're just unable to see Jesus for who he truly is. To be spiritually blind is not to see Jesus. It is to see his works, but not to see him. You see the miracles, his miracles, but you don't see him. He heals you of your sickness, but you just don't see him. You see the miracles and not him. There is spiritual blindness. That is problematic, church family. Spiritual blindness. Why? Because for Jesus, miracles, they are not the end goal of his mission. Miracles were there to point us to Jesus. Jesus did not do the miracles so that he could be a miracle worker, but it was so that people would understand who he was and come to respond in faith and repentance to him. John chapter 20, verses 30 to 31, he says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Verse 31, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name, eternal life in his name. So do you see that? He didn't perform miracles so that he could be a miracle worker. It was also that you may believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing that, you may have life, eternal life. So spiritual blindness is problematic because it blocks your sight from seeing Jesus. You see his miracles and not him. You get an opportunity to be in front of him, have a conversation with him, but not see him. You are amazed at what he does, but you just don't see him. That is spiritual blindness. You leave him not having faith in him, not having repented of your sin. You leave him not having eternal life, even though you've seen him and you have seen his glory being displayed in front of your eyes. You are blind. And what will shock you, church family, as it shocked me as I was reading this, is that actually this is all our problem before, even with us before we come to Christ as Christians. All of us, we have this problem of spiritual blindness before we come to Christ. And that's our first point for this morning. We are all born spiritually blind. Verses 11 to 21. We are born into the state of blindness because of our sin. Ever since Adam and Eve, our parents, sinned in the Garden of Eden, every generation and every single human being born into this world has been born spiritually blind. They are spiritually dead in their sin. It doesn't matter which family you are born into. It doesn't matter the race you are born into. You are born spiritually blind, spiritually dead. Our sinful nature is blinding our eyes and leaving us in the utter darkness. We cannot do anything to change our condition within ourselves or before God. And in our passage this morning, there are two groups that will demonstrate the state of our spiritual blindness before we come to Jesus. The first group is the Pharisees. If you were listening as Susie was reading, in verse 11, they come to Jesus. They get an opportunity to be in front of Jesus. And they come to Jesus with a seemingly spiritual request. They say to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, just give us one sign. Just do one miracle for us, Jesus." This is seemingly a spiritual request, isn't it? If you remember from the Old Testament, signs were miracles that were performed by prophets to prove that they were sent by God. Remember Moses in Egypt, when he went to Egypt. And Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, asked him, he said, "Show me one sign that you are sent by God." And Moses took Aaron's staff and threw it to the ground and it turned to a snake. You remember Elijah calling down fire from heaven and it came and consumed his sacrifice. The Pharisees want something like that. They say to Jesus, "Give us one sign. We just want to see if you are really from God." But Mark tells us that this is a trap. It's a test. They are not asking Jesus for a sign so that they can believe. They are testing him. They want to see if he's really from God, if he's really a son of man as he claims. And what is surprising about this request, them asking Jesus for a sign, is that the Pharisees have actually seen so many signs from Jesus. They have seen so many miracles from Jesus. Jesus has healed the paralytic in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Remember the man they brought to Jesus who was paralyzed? He left Jesus having been healed. Jesus has casted demons from so many people. The Pharisees know this. They've witnessed those miracles. Jesus healed so many people in front of their eyes. The word is going out about Jesus healing people. Everyone hears and everyone knows about what Jesus has been doing, including the Pharisees themselves. Jesus fed 5,000 people. Remember that? 5,000 people with only five loaves of bread and two fish. But they come to Jesus and say, give us one sign. Really? They know all that. But why? They are blind. They are spiritually blind to the truth. They still want a sign to prove if Jesus is really from God. They are always closer to Jesus. They keep following him. They see him performing miracles. They've listened to him preach. There was no preacher like Jesus. Don't care who's the preacher you follow. There was no preacher like Jesus. People could listen to him for hours without getting bored because he preached with authority. The Pharisees, them themselves, they heard Jesus preaching. They saw his miracles. But they are blind to the truth. Show us one sign, Jesus. Their sinful nature doesn't allow them to grasp the true identity of Jesus. Their hearts are hard. They are blind. Their hearts are blinding them to see the truth about Jesus. Even though there is enough evidence to prove that Jesus is from God, he is God himself, they are blind to see it. And what will shock you is that the Pharisees were not like other people, like the normal people in the community. The Pharisees knew the law. They studied the law. They mastered the law. But guess what? They failed to see the one whom the law was pointing to. They are spiritually blind. The law was not the end goal in the Old Testament. If they really knew the law, they would have known Jesus because the law was pointing to Jesus. It was not the end goal. No one was saved through the law. No one was saved through the animal that was sacrificed in the temple, in the synagogue, in the tabernacle. That was just shadowing Christ's death on the cross. If they really understood that, they should have understood Jesus. But they didn't. Why? Because they were blind. But what we see from the passage is that Jesus is not going to give them what they want. He's not going to give them the sign that they want. Right? Because Jesus knows their real problem. The problem is not the sign they want. The problem is spiritual blindness. It's their heart. It is heart. Instead, Mark tells us that Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit. And he asked this question, why does this generation want a sign? There is no sign that will be given to this generation. What is strange about Jesus' response is that it is the Pharisees that brings this request to Jesus. But Jesus doesn't really address them. He addresses everyone. Did you see that? He says, why does this generation want a sign? What does that mean? Well, this suggests that this problem of hard-heartedness is more widespread. It's not only to the Pharisees. It's everyone. It's this generation. And this is true if you look back. There were so many people who were coming to Jesus. So many people who came to Jesus. But why? They came for signs. They came for miracles. In John chapter 6, Jesus tells them when they want bread from him. He says, you guys, you don't love me. You follow me because I gave you bread and you ate and you had your fill. You don't follow me because you love me. So it's a problem that is on everyone, not only the Pharisees. It's not only their problem, it's all our problem. We follow Jesus for signs, for miracles. We follow him because what can he give me? They were too close to Jesus but far away from understanding who he is. Isn't that us? When we come to church, when we go to Bible studies, when we hear so many sermons, but we make our heart hard to hearing the gospel, to understanding who Jesus truly is. Some people have an opportunity to be born at Christian families where they are raised by godparents. They grow up Christian families. The families take them to Sunday school, from Sunday school to youth, from youth to young adult, from young adult to the main church. They start serving in the church. But they still hard their heart to the gospel. All the evidence is in front of their eyes. But their hearts are hard. But that was the first group. The second group is the disciples, and that will shock you. Because you will think that at this time the disciples have now come to a better understanding of Jesus. Well, no. The second group in our passage that is still spiritually blind is the disciples themselves. In verse 13, we are told that Jesus left the Pharisees and got into a boat and went to the other side. And while he's on the boat with his disciples, Mark tells us that the disciples forgot bread. They had only one loaf with them in the boat. But before we hear what are they going to think about this situation, what are they going to do about that situation, Jesus uses the parable language to warn them about something. He says to them, be careful. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. The question is, what is the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod that the disciples must watch out for? Well, he is warning them against becoming like Pharisees and Herod. Herod and the Pharisees had one thing in common. You know what is that? A refusal to recognize and accept the truth about Jesus. We are told Herod liked to listen to John preaching. He would call him sometimes and say, come, John, and preach. But he would still not accept Jesus. He refused to accept the truth about Jesus. So Jesus says to his disciples, do not be like them. Do not be like the Pharisees. Do not be like Herod, who hears so many things about Jesus, but who still chooses not to believe in Jesus. But what is shocking in the passage is that immediately after Jesus had finished saying that to the disciples, they do exactly that. The yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod had already spread to them. In verse 16, the disciples, they are stressed about the fact that they have no bread. And what the disciples did there shows that they are still spiritually blind. They are still cannot see. Their hearts are hard. They haven't come to a true understanding of who Jesus truly is, church family. Jesus has just performed a huge miracle in front of them in Dalmanuta. That is chapter 8, verses 1 to 10. That means it's the passage before this passage. Jesus has just fed the 4,000 people with just 7 loaves and few small fish. And that was not the first time Jesus performed the miracle of the bread. You still remember in chapter 6? He fed 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And you know what is surprising? Is that in both miracles, when Jesus fed the crowd with a bread, the disciples were present, they were there. They saw Jesus performing those miracles. If you read the story, it's like Mark is telling the same story, but to in different locations and to different people. The story is just the same. I mean, there's one thing that is common in all of these three stories about bread. Bread is an issue. There is not enough bread. And the disciples are stressed about it. They don't know what are they going to do about it. And Jesus miraculously provides bread. But the disciples still chooses to harden their hearts. They don't see. They still don't believe. Question is, why is that? Why is that? Why would they follow Jesus so close and not come to a better understanding of who Jesus is? You know what is amazing with the disciples themselves? Is that they even saw more miracles than everyone else. There's one miracle that people did not witness, that the Pharisees did not witness, that was only witnessed by the disciples. That is the miracle of Jesus walking on the sea, coming to them. It was at night, the disciples, they're at the sea, and Jesus came walking to them. Everyone else didn't see that. It was only the disciples. So they have more evidence than everyone else, but they still don't believe. Why is that? Well, the answer lies in verses 17 to verse 21. Let's look at those verses together. Let's go through them. Jesus asked them questions in verses 17. Let's read. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your heart hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do not remember?" After reading a question, we need to say yes. Right? So, are your hearts hardened? Yes. Having eyes, do you not see? No, we should be saying no, right? It's actually no. Jesus is saying the opposite to them. He's saying no. Your hearts are hardened. Do you not perceive or understand? Yes, they don't. They haven't come to an understanding of who Jesus is. They not yet perceive. Are your hearts hardened? Yes. Their hearts are hardened. They have eyes, but their eyes cannot see. Can they remember? This is what my English teacher used to say to me in class when I didn't get what she was teaching me. She always liked this saying that says, there is light in the house, but there's no one in this house. So the next question will be Jesus trying to find out if there are light in this house and if there are people in this house. He says in verse 19, "When I broke the five loaves of the five for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" They said to him, 12. Oh, so yes, there are light in this house and there are people in this house. They remember there were 12. Verse 20. "And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" They said to him, 7. Oh, yes, so everything is working upstairs. So your comprehension is right. You can still remember. But why did you not understand what that was pointing to? You are blind. You are spiritually blind. That's why they are not responding in faith and repentance to Jesus. Their hearts are hardened. Their eyes do not see. Their ears do not hear. They are spiritually blind. It doesn't matter what Jesus do. They still won't see. Obviously, from this point, we need to pause it and realize that something is needed to help the disciples come to understand Jesus. Because I think Jesus has done more than enough to convince them, to give them evidence that he is the Lord. Something has to be done. Because they can remember everything, even the details, even how much was the leftovers from the miracles. But they didn't grasp his identity. They are blind. So something has to be done. They didn't understand the purpose of the feeding miracles. Stuart went to the details, helping us understand what those miracles was intending to demonstrate. They were intending to demonstrate his identity as a messianic rescuer or redeemer. But they didn't grasp that. They had an opportunity to be in front of Jesus and have a conversation with him, witness his power and authority, and still didn't believe. Something has to be done. Is there hope for the disciples? Is there hope for us? Well, the next section is going to show us that yes, there is hope. There is hope. But that is not going to come from them, because it's clear that they are unable to do it by themselves. So they need God's intervention for them to respond in faith and repentance. And that's our